Welcome to The Leading Tone, a podcast that explores all aspects of all types of music. I'm Fernando.
And I'm Alex, and welcome to the 23rd episode of The Leading Tone podcast. Today we'll be discussing some of our favorite holiday music, but before we get into that, let's guess that lick.
Guess that lick or there's no prize.
Welcome to Guess That Lick, our weekly quiz show that tests our musical memory. Each of us will bring an isolated excerpt of music, either from a recording or just a piano track recording, and the other co-host will have three listens to Guess That Lick. For a maximum of 5 points per episode, here is the scoring breakdown. 1 point each for the piece, the movement, the composer, the time period, and the genre. We have all elements in play today. So, 5 points available for Alex. I have brought the lick today, so okay. He'll be guessing.
All right, well, I'm excited about this. Let's get this rolling.
All right, let's get the first listen. That was the first listen. What are you thinking on the first listen here?
This is a really clever one, I think. It had me stumped at first, but I think I'm picking up on this. So it's definitely Beethoven.
It is Beethoven.
The symphony is a little bit tougher because I'm actually between two. I'm between three and six.
Mm-hmm.
Movement, I'm a little bit unsure, but we'll get another listen.
Okay, let's get the second listen. Okay, that was the second listen. No real hints needed here. Let's see what else you came up with.
Yeah, this is definitely the Third Symphony. This is from the first movement, but it's one of the themes that's a little bit later on. I like this one a lot. So, let's see. I have Beethoven's Third Symphony, his Eroica Symphony, first movement, a time period of early Romantic and genre, it's a symphony, so.
Yep, you got all of that correct, so that's all right. I thought Beethoven was a very timely composer to have. We aren't really featuring him on the main topic of the episode,
mm-hmm.
So I figured we could fit him in with his birthday being really recently,
or,
you know, what's recognized as his baptism.
Right, yeah.
I thought this was a really good one, and I enjoyed this one a lot, of Beethoven symphonies. Three is a really great one, so I didn't know if you'd catch this one. This is from the development of the first movement.
Yeah, that's what threw me off at first, because I was like, the movement was a little bit tricky, and between three and six, it definitely had that Beethoven sound.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lick that's similar to this in six that I'll have to hunt down. I was a little bit confused at first, but then when I heard the orchestration, I was like, okay, I know this is from the first movement there. So yeah, this is a great lick.
With all that being said, let's tally up the points. We've got now Alex taking the lead for December. He's got 10 points to my 5 points, and then he is catching up here. I've got 40 points lifetime, and Alex will have now 38 points.
Well, I guess I'll have to maybe trip you up next week. Maybe bring in some more tricky ones, so we'll see if I can find anything.
Right, yeah, we'll see.
All right, well, we hope that you all had fun trying to guess that lick with us. Let's go ahead and move on to today's topic. Welcome to today's topic. Today we're going to be discussing a lot of different holiday music. We discovered putting together this playlist that a lot of our music actually ended up drawing from this connection between classical and sacred music, Christian and Catholic music. Growing up, we're both Catholics, and we attended Catholic church a lot growing up. So some of our nostalgia actually came from that, as well as some of the more pop-oriented tunes. Fernando, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, well, I just wanted to say, too, that a lot of the holiday music that we know of is only in existence because of the connection between the church and composers throughout history.
That's a very good point. Yeah, a lot of composers that was their living, and then especially around Christmas time, and it's kind of carried throughout history
for
a lot of musicians.
Right, and so in the Western world, at least, Christmas and Christmas music is overwhelmingly the holiday music.
Right.
Unfortunately, we don't really have much music from other holidays such as Hanukkah or other winter holidays that you might be celebrating around this time. But I think we've got a great selection of music nonetheless here, even though most of them are either Christmas or just general holiday themed.
Right. And the other correlation that we kind of noticed was not only did we have a lot of love for the music of the classical and the church arenas here, jazz was actually one that kind of popped up pretty frequently in our list, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But we do have some great listening for you today. We'll be referencing a lot throughout this episode our Spotify playlist that we've specially curated for this episode, and you'll hear us mention a lot of different tunes today, and they'll all be on that Spotify playlist, so be sure to check that out in the show's description on whichever platform you listen to. Anyway, Fernando, let's go ahead and jump into this. I think my favorite all-time Christmas tune is Greensleeves.
Okay.
Greensleeves is just a melody that I have always loved so much in the church as well as in the orchestral realm. Ralph Vaughan Williams' Fantasia on Greensleeves is a really fantastic, pretty short piece, but really, really gorgeously harmonized. Very similar to his Fantasia on a Theme by Thomas Tallis,
right?
Which we covered a couple months ago now. And that's one that I've really, really fallen in love with. But there's also some other really cool versions of Greensleeves we discovered. John Coltrane's quartet, they have a really cool cover of Greensleeves that we discovered actually earlier today. But let's talk a little bit more about some of the classical side of Christmas, because that's a lot of the audience of this show. Telemann's Christmas Cantatas. Wow. Really, really great stuff. We've spoken a lot about Telemann on this podcast before, and that's one that really has stood out to us for his creativity amongst Baroque music, but his Christmas music is really something stellar.
Right. I really, really enjoy this intersection of Telemann and Christmas music here, and he was very, very used to writing sacred music, of course. He was employed by churches throughout his career, so it wasn't unusual for him, and he was writing plenty of cantatas, but these really are really in the style of Telemann, and they really have a great sense of the Baroque style, but with the thing that's always there, the Telemann twist,
right?
For him.
Yeah, the movement that we put in the playlist is the seventh movement here, and I remember we were both listening, and it's just this really warm moment when the choir comes in after an instrumental section in the movement before, and it's just fantastic. It's really, really something special. So definitely take a listen to that. Some other church music that we really enjoy. We both talk about how we have this nostalgia, especially now that churches aren't really doing full in-person services. This nostalgia for a lot of these hymn tunes, including Hark the Herald, Gloria in Excelsis Deo, and then one in particular that we found a great recording of, First Noel. There's a really cool recording that we discovered by the Cathedral Singers. It's this whole Catholic album. Really, really fantastic counterpoint in there, wouldn't you agree?
Right. I really like the treatment of the melody there where I think the soprano voice and the tenor voice kind of have a contrapuntal staggered entrance, and it's a really fun variation on the main theme, and then later on it reverses and the tenor voice starts and the soprano voice comes in later. It's
right.
A really fun variation on the standard tune that you might hear in the church, and maybe not so well in the church, but
right.
on this recording it's pretty great.
Well, maybe the congregation would accidentally sing it this way when you have one guy that's maybe a little bit behind the beat, and
yeah.
Some of those churches are pretty big, so the organ and the so that could play into effect there. Regardless, that's enough japing there. But we also wanted to talk a little bit before we did some listening about some Christmas jazz, and in particular, there's one artist that we think defines the realm of Christmas and jazz and rides that line so smoothly. It's Vince Guaraldi with his music for Charlie Brown's Christmas special. It has become just some of the most beloved Christmas music.
Right. It's a staple for me during the holiday season. It just perfectly encapsulates the feeling of the holidays, where It has this warm coziness, and it also has a really intellectual side to it,
right,
that is really fun, makes it fun to listen to, but also just feels good to listen to.
Yes, I totally agree there, and that a lot of it has to do with some of that great piano harmony in there with just some limited chord tones. Really, really fantastic stuff. There's also a really fantastic version of Greensleeves on that album, which we've included in today's playlist, so be sure to check that out. But there's a couple other ones, like Skating. That's one we put on the playlist. That's a really, really fantastic and energetic chart. Really fun stuff. And if you're nostalgic for the Peanuts, for Charlie Brown, then you'll really, really enjoy this music. And it's, we also talked about how it's interesting because on the TV versions of the special, the sound is so compressed with a lot of stuff, so you can't really fully appreciate it. But on these Spotify recordings, the sound has been restored, and it's really, really fantastic. So I think you'll hear things that you might not necessarily hear on the TV special.
Yeah, and I think also you get to hear it a little bit more intentionally in the
yes.
in the TV special. It's a little bit in the background, and
yeah,
in some ways it's meant for that furniture music, as Satie would say.
Yeah.
but in a lot of other ways I think it's really fun to listen to, and the soloists are just phenomenal throughout the whole album.
Absolutely, I completely agree there. So definitely check out some of that Vince Guaraldi. Let's go ahead and move on to our first listening of the day. Now, we are going to have some pretty familiar stuff to play for you, but we wanted to start off with something maybe a little bit unfamiliar to those of you that are familiar with the realm of classical music even. This is Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov's Polonaise from his opera and libretto Christmas Eve, so very fittingly titled for this episode. I think you guys are going to really enjoy this one. It definitely has his trademark flair of orchestration, but still that great Christmas, almost sleigh ride kind of feel that you'll really enjoy. Well, let's go ahead and take a listen to the Polonaise from Rimsky-Korsakov's Christmas Eve.
Thank you.
That was the Polonaise from Rimsky-Korsakov's Christmas Eve, an opera and libretto written by Rimsky-Korsakov. Really, really fantastic orchestration here. Now, this is a wind band transcription of this movement. However, I think that Rimsky-Korsakov's signature style and orchestration really, really shine through here.
Yeah, completely agreed. The orchestration is something that Rimsky-Korsakov is really well known for. He wrote an entire book on it, so I think he knows what he's doing. And just his style in general, it's really, it has a little bit of a militaristic feeling to it, but it also can really take you to different places in your head. It's fanfare-like, and so it feels like you're kind of welcoming Christmas in a way.
Right. Yeah, I completely agree there. And even besides the fact that it really does have that great Christmassy feel that we expect from a holiday episode of a primarily classical music podcast, but this really, really reminds me of Tchaikovsky in particular. There's a lot of orchestration moments that are very characteristically Rimsky-Korsakov, but melodically and the way he'll treat some of these fanfare-ish figures makes me think of his Fifth Symphony or the Nutcracker, which, spoiler alert, we'll be listening to today. But yeah, lots of great influences here from Tchaikovsky at St. Petersburg, as well as the rest of the Russian Five, which we've talked about a few times on this show.
Right, and you can also hear some of the romantic elements of Rimsky-Korsakov's music here too, because there are some kind of trills or flurries in the upper woodwinds that really give you a sense of that like snow feeling and such.
So, oh yeah, and then with a string section too in the orchestral version that will really come across.
Right, just another thing to kind of demonstrate Rimsky-Korsakov's style, but also kind of fit in with our theme of the day.
Absolutely, yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the background behind Rimsky-Korsakov's Christmas Eve. It was composed in between 1894 and 1895. This was actually after his big hit with Scheherazade, so if you're familiar with that piece, know that this comes after that. He based this opera on a short story titled The Christmas Eve from Nikolai Gogol, and this story had been the basis for an opera at least three times previously, including Tchaikovsky's Vakula the Smith. So interesting, it had already been done, but a little bit differently here with Rimsky-Korsakov. I wonder how much inspiration he ended up taking from Tchaikovsky with that.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I didn't know that.
One of the critics actually wrote about this piece in particular: Rimsky is only interested in recreating the atmosphere of the folktale, fleshing it out for the stage pageant in a comparable way to Humperdinck in Hansel. So that's a quote from a music critic at the time, actually. And I find that really interesting because I think that critics had pegged Rimsky-Korsakov as being that composer that was really just trying to tell a story through his music, which is a huge part of romanticism, a huge ideal of romanticism, and I think that he does a great job of it with this work.
Yeah, I think so too, and maybe the critic was trying to kind of pin him down for only using kind of folk tales.
Yeah.
In Scheherazade, Arabic folk tales, and then in this one, a more Russian one. Either way, I think there's nothing wrong with how he was approaching the music. I think that romantic style and programmatic style is perfectly fine, and it still is very accessible today. I think people still really appreciate it today.
Yeah, I completely agree, and I think that this is a good one to check out and to explore the rest of this work. This seems to be a lesser-known Rimsky-Korsakov work. I personally did not know about it before we started the research for this episode, so this is an exciting new one to add to your repertoire. There's another great recording in our Spotify playlist today, so be sure to check it out. All right, Fernando, well, let's move on to some of our other holiday favorites that we have in our playlist for listening. Let's talk about some film music. For me, The Grinch, the animated version of The Grinch specifically, the cartoon one, not the recent 3D animation adaptation, has some really great music. And not only did I really enjoy it growing up, it's music that I think really stands the test of time and is really fantastic music. Obviously, the theme, "You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch," is really iconic. But then there's some orchestral ones like "Trim Up the Tree," all great music written by Albert Hogg here for the original animated Grinch. Really fantastic.
Yeah, and I think the special thing about the music for the Grinch is that it's perfectly quirky for the Dr. Seuss premise and for the animation. I think it just fits in so well. There's a lot of odd sounds and a lot of odd stops and starts that just work perfectly for the Grinch. And I really enjoy it too. It's a really fun and entertaining soundtrack to go along with a really fun and entertaining movie.
I completely agree with you there, Fernando. And some other scores that I found really enjoyed. Well, this is one that I personally enjoyed more so probably than the movie. I'm not super nostalgic for the Polar Express movie, but the Alan Silvestri suite from Polar Express has some really, really touching themes that I really enjoy.
Right. The lyrical melodies in this one just tug at your heartstrings. It's a really emotional sounding soundtrack and again, accompanies the film well, but I'm in the same boat. I'm not nostalgic for the film as much as I am for the music. I think the music has a special place in my heart. It definitely encapsulates the sound of winter and Christmas in a lot of ways. And again, it has some fun moments with the hot chocolate kind of stuff. I don't know if that's in the suite, but it's in the movie soundtrack. And I just think that they really try to get emotional with some of the music. And I appreciate it. I can get into that mood sometimes.
Yeah, oh, I completely agree there. I think that that's a huge part of the season of the holidays, Christmas, and whatever you might celebrate is the spirit of not only giving, but the spirit of family and togetherness. I think that that is the common thread, no matter what you might celebrate. So really, really, really great music there from the Polar Express. That's one that we've included in the playlist. That's sweet. This is one that I've been looking the last couple of years to add some more songs to my Christmas repertoire, if you will, because I felt like that some of it maybe was starting to get a little bit stale. Maybe I had listened too much to some of it. Now, something a little bit newer that I'm finding listening to this time of year now is from the Disney movie Frozen 2, the track Lost in the Woods, written by Christopher Beck. Really, really great 80s Chicago kind of sound.
Chicago the band.
Yeah, Chicago the band. Yeah, really, really fantastic there. And one that I've really enjoyed listening to over the last year. So definitely check that out. It's in our Spotify playlist. John Williams' Home Alone score is really, really fantastic. And a lot of people have been throwing that around as one of the best Christmas movies and one of the best Christmas movie scores. And I don't know if I agree about the movie part. I do like the movie, but the score is in a league of its own.
Right. It's another hit from John Williams, really. I mean, where does he ever go wrong? A lot of the soundtracks, even for the movies that you might not know as well, or the movies that you don't really think of the music a lot, the music is still really good when it's by John Williams. I mean, Home Alone is one that for a long time I didn't think of the music when I thought of Home Alone. I just thought of the goofiness and the you know, the pranks and all that. It's just a funny movie. But as I've, you know, gotten older and started appreciating music more in a deeper sense and appreciating films more in a deeper sense, that I started to really notice the music and appreciate the music as well. So this soundtrack and score are very much in the John Williams style. So if you like John Williams music, then you'll like this score for Home Alone. If you like that, go ahead and check it out on the playlist that we have curated for you.
Absolutely, yes. And we'll keep reminding you about this playlist with some wind band music, where both of us are very entrenched in the world of wind bands. So we wanted to include a few of these in here. Sleigh Ride by Leroy Anderson is known to be quite the classic in the wind band world.
Yeah, it's frequently, probably most frequently played by wind bands. There is the orchestral version as well.
Yes, which I believe is what we supplied with listening today, but we did want to mention it in the wind band realm.
Right. Another classic from Leroy Anderson. You might be familiar with some other things by him, but Sleigh Ride is kind of the one that everybody knows by him, I think.
Right. Yes, totally agree there. And it's one that has had a lot of staying power, not just in the world of classical music, but on the radio as well. Percy Grainger, we've discussed a few times on this podcast, but his Sussex Mummers Christmas Carol is one that we've both have found pretty special to us, and there's really fantastic melodies and harmonies in that one.
Right, this one is one that I've played in band. Have you played this one in band too?
I've played it in band a few times, yeah. It's really a special one every time it's performed. It's quite challenging.
It is quite challenging. There's some really long phrases in there, and some really Grainger-esque harmonies, of course. It's his setting of a traditional, I think, British Christmas carol.
Yeah, a really, really fantastic job there from Grainger. It's one that I find myself coming around to a lot this year. Like we said, that one is included in our playlist. Now, these two are a little bit newer, actually. These are David Lavryan's Minor Alterations 1 and 2. Both of them are included on today's playlist. And essentially, he takes all these common Christmas tunes like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or Hark the Herald, just about any Christmas tune you can really think of, and he puts it in a minor key, minor being kind of a vague term because he certainly varies it quite a bit, and it's not necessarily all solidly minor. It might be the melody still in the major key, but the harmony behind it is minor. He experiments a lot with these, but the point is they're really, really fantastic band works that audiences definitely will love, because it's taking things that you know already and putting like a funny little twist on them.
Right. Yeah, and that's the really fun thing about it, and that's what kind of brings me to this piece when it comes around time for the holiday season here. I love the little humor and comedy in this piece of music, or these two pieces of music.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree with you there, Fernando. I think my favorite part of it is when the muted trumpet has the Rudolph melody in the minor key. I think that the texture there and the orchestration is really fantastic. So you have to take a listen to both his minor alterations. The second minor alterations actually takes a lot more from orchestral music. There's some very, very obvious nods to Richard Wagner's Ride of the Valkyries in there, as well as Dance Macabre makes an appearance in there. So there's a lot of funny references for the orchestral aficionados out there.
Right. So, fun for the performers and the listeners.
Well, speaking of fun for the listeners and the performers, we're going to take a listen to our second listening example today. This is one that you all will surely know, have heard on television and films countless amount of times. This is Tchaikovsky's ballet, The Nutcracker, and this is the Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy. I think that you guys will find this one very tuneful and recognizable. Let's take a listen.
That was the Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy from Tchaikovsky's The Nutcracker. Wonderful ballet, and this track really, really resembles ballet in a lot of ways. In this particular one, resembling even more so the sugar plum fairies.
Right.
I would imagine relatively dainty creatures, relatively light and kind of floating along. And I think that it's really achieved by Tchaikovsky through his use of orchestration, again, just like Rimsky-Korsakov. And a big part of that is the celesta, which is the kind of high-pitched metal-sounding instrument that you're hearing throughout most of this one.
Yeah, and Tchaikovsky, that was an instrument that he experimented with a few times. And this one, I think that he just absolutely nailed it. And there's a reason why that this has been featured so frequently throughout media. Not only is it just a great melody, but it really is, just like the Rimsky-Korsakov, such a masterclass in orchestration and mood and putting and painting a picture, which is what so much of the Romantic period was about. And Tchaikovsky really exemplifies that. So really, really fantastic work here.
So the libretto for The Nutcracker is actually adapted from E.T.A. Hoffman's story, The Nutcracker and the Mouse King. So the premise that we all have come to know and love, very similar to Toy Story in a lot of ways, is from E.T.A. Hoffman's story. And the ballet premiered in 1892 and was not a success. The 20-minute suite Tchaikovsky extracted from it is kind of been the big success afterwards. Despite all this, the complete Nutcracker is enjoyed frequently every year now by so many families in their siblings and child's ballet programs or in professional ballet programs, and it's overall become one of Tchaikovsky's most famous compositions.
Right, yeah, and it's so interesting that this is another one of those that was not a success at first, but then has achieved so much notoriety in the modern age. Crazy to me.
Yeah, it's funny how that works out, where, I mean, for me, I can't even imagine the Nutcracker not being successful. It's such a staple in the world of classical music, in the world of Christmas music, Russian music, everything. I mean, it's such a large part of, I think, the culture around the holidays.
Right.
That it's mind-boggling to think of a time where they said, oh, I don't think so. We're not really interested.
Right. And it's also amazing to me that it's become so synonymous with Christmas. That's also another thing. Is anybody who doesn't know anything about music would be able to listen to this and be like, yeah, this is Christmas.
Right. And it's funny because I don't think it's inherently just about Christmas.
Exactly. I mean, the Nutcracker was kind of adopted by Christmas and by like just that holiday theme in general. But it's not so much overtly about the Christian holidays or even any of the other holidays. So interesting to note there.
Right.
Likewise, it's become such a staple of holiday music. Well, let's talk about some more staples of holiday music. We're going to take a complete turn here, and we're going to talk about some of our favorites more in the pop genre. Now, this ended up being a pretty carefully curated list here, and these are all included in the Spotify. Let's talk about the first couple of these. Jingle Bell Rock, specifically the Bobby Helms version of this, and this is probably one of the more commonly featured versions of this, but the voice of Bobby Helms just becomes so iconic and become my preferred version of this tune.
Right. It sounds just like a classic. It is a classic, and it's an oldie, but a goldie, right? It's a good one. And yeah, I think the same about him having an iconic voice. I can't imagine it with a different person singing it.
Yeah, totally agree there. And speaking of can't imagine somebody else singing this, is the Nat King Cole version of the Christmas song. What a fantastic version of this classic chart.
Right, this is the definitive version. This is the truly the best one that I've ever heard. It's great. I think most recordings are trying to achieve what Nat King Cole was achieving with this one, and it's just a really, really good one.
Absolutely, yeah, I'm totally with you there. Both of these are on the Spotify playlist, so don't forget to check this out. Now, this one is a little bit controversial because I feel like a lot of people get kind of sick of this one. Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney. This one's a little bit repetitive, but I think that it's one that I'm always pleased with when it comes on the radio. I really like this one.
Yeah, I really like it too because of all the effects and all of the things that he was trying with this one. I think this is a very experimental Christmas song. If you're, you know, thinking of other Christmas songs, most of the ones that we've listed so far have jazz roots in some way.
Right.
And this one, in a way, does, but is also very techno and electronic and experimental. Yeah. It's a good change of pace, I think.
Yeah.
I think this one is a good change of pace compared to the more jazzy, maybe sometimes slower ones.
Yeah.
So it rounds out the playlist well, and it rounds out the holiday season well.
Yeah, and I like your point about the craftsmanship of it. I think that it is just such a well-crafted song. You could tell that the sounds that were chosen for this were really carefully and meticulously chosen to create this this scope of wonderful Christmas time.
Right, so, yeah.
Really great. Well, let's move on here. Ella Fitzgerald's Frosty the Snowman. There's a lot of versions of Frosty the Snowman. But why is this one your favorite, Fernando?
Well, it's Ella Fitzgerald, right? I mean, is there anybody else that you would want singing kind of a classic Christmas tune? I definitely don't want anybody else singing it besides her. She was a phenomenal jazz singer. She was one of the best jazz singers, and she's very well known for that. So Ella Fitzgerald's Frosty the Snowman, for me, this is the best version of the Christmas tune.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm completely on board with that. It was not the one I grew up with. I grew up with the one from the animated cartoon.
Right.
And then when I heard the Ella Fitzgerald version, I was like, well, I can't go back now.
Yeah, definitely can't go back after hearing Ella Fitzgerald sing. Next up on our list is It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year by Andy Williams.
And also Happy Holidays by Andy Williams. These kind of go in a nice pair here. I think that Andy Williams' voice has become kind of synonymous with a lot of these great Christmas charts. But these two in particular are ones and versions of these songs that I really, really enjoy and love listening to around this time of year. And we've included both of them on the playlist.
Yeah, they're real staples and really, really jazzy and Sinatra-like in a lot of ways. Some people might think that it's Frank Sinatra, but it actually is Andy Williams singing on these two songs.
Yeah, absolutely. And then this last one we want to mention before we kind of play out here is one that Fernando and I just kind of recently discovered, but Fernando's always been a really big fan of Stevie Wonder.
Right. With Stevie Wonder, he's got the Christmas song What Christmas Means to Me. And so, of course, we've got the classic funky Stevie Wonder sound, but with a lot of Christmas themes, and the actual content of the lyrics is about Christmas and what it kind of means to him.
Right, yeah, and it's really, really funky and really, really fun. So this one is definitely worth a listen if you have not heard it before. We've included it in today's playlist. But speaking of listening, we have one last listening excerpt for you. But before we listen, we want to wish everyone that listens to the Leading Tone podcast happy holidays. We're really, really thankful for all the listeners that have been sticking with us. And this has been a great ride for us. And we're really, really enjoying this process and getting to share our love for music with you. So thank you all for listening, of course. Fernando, do you have anything to add?
I'd just like to double down on that. Like Alex said, we're incredibly thankful for all of our listeners from all around the world, for everybody that's sticking with us. I hope we've made some improvements, and I hope that you've been enjoying the show a lot. We're always putting in our best effort to give you the best product that we can, so hopefully you've been enjoying that. And, of course, happy holidays.
Yeah.
Whatever you celebrate, I hope you enjoy that with your family and your friends, if you can.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that we will actually be taking a week off in celebration of the holidays this week. So there will be no episode this next following Monday. But we'll be back the Monday after that for some more Leading Tone and some exciting stuff down the pipeline. But our Christmas gift to you, or our holiday gift to you, is this playlist that we put together of some great tracks that we got to discuss today. So we hope that you guys take a listen.
Right. Hopefully you take a listen. and listen to a little bit of what we've been listening to and what we're probably going to continue listening to
this coming week. We were getting really excited putting this together because it's like, well, now we just have a definitive Christmas playlist we can listen to. So good stuff for us as well. To play you out today, we're going to listen to another famous excerpt from Tchaikovsky's ballet, The Nutcracker, and this is my personal favorite movement and one of my favorite melodies of all time. This is the Waltz of the Flowers. I think you guys will really enjoy the orchestration here, particularly in the strings and the horns. One of my favorite excerpts. Hope you guys enjoy. Have a happy holidays from the Leading Tone podcast, and stay safe out there.
Let's take a listen.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Leading Tone Podcast. You can email us at theleadingtonepodcast@gmail.com.
Or you can find us on social media at the Leading Tone Podcast with no spaces on Instagram and the Leading Tone Podcast on Facebook.